Well, hey, we are going to actually jump into a new sermon series today. We have finished up our series on lukewarm Christianity, and this one ties kind of right into it. They kind of flow together as we spent those 4 weeks going deep into what does lukewarm Christianity looks like. Now we're going to spend, I think, about 5 weeks talking about the rhythm of life, starting this new series called Sacred Rhythms. As we start this, I want to share with you, maybe you've seen it, maybe you've seen some of their movies, but the Kendrick brothers, if you've never watched any of their movies, they've brought us movies like Facing the Giants, Courageous, several others. They have a movie that they made that is, in my opinion, not as well known as maybe some of the other ones, so maybe you haven't seen it, but they made a movie called Overcomer. And if you've never seen it, the basic premise of the movie is it's about a high school basketball coach who takes over being the cross-country coach and ends up only having one runner that actually comes to tryouts. And what's interesting is the one girl who comes to be on the cross-country team ends up also having asthma. So it's a very interesting and beautiful story about this, you know, this coach and this one girl, and especially it's a beautiful story about finding our identity in Jesus. But as you watch the movie, you learn some things about long distance running or long distance racing. And through the movie, you learn that if anybody enters into being a long distance runner, so any of you that have been thinking about it, right? Here's some words of thought. Listen, I thought about it, then I watched the movie, and I'm like, nah, not for me. No. Anyways. But here's what you kind of learn through it, some of the things. You learn that one of the worst mistakes that a runner can make is starting a race trying to match someone else's pace. Right? At the sound of the gun, right, the adrenaline hits, the crowd cheers, and inexperienced runners often will sprint too fast, trying to keep up with everyone else that is around them. So for the first mile, it might go well. For the first mile, you feel strong. For the beginning of it, you feel confident in what's going on. You might actually be ahead in the pack, but unfortunately, eventually, what happens is breathing shortens, and your legs start to tighten, and your energy crashes. Why? Because they're running out of sync with the pace that they were designed to maintain. So experienced runners understand something important. Rhythm matters. Running with a rhythm matters, right? Settling into a cadence as you run, right? Your breathing, your stride, your posture, your focus, everything comes into this beautiful alignment that allows you to run the race. Now, why am I sharing all this? Because spiritually, it's the same thing. Unfortunately, spiritually, most of us, many people, live their lives exhausted. Not just physically, we can live mentally exhausted, emotionally exhausted, and unfortunately also spiritually exhausted because we're trying to run at a pace that matches our culture, or we try to run a pace that is based on comparison or based on our ambition or based on pressure. Like, we're constantly paying attention to the people that are around us and the world that's around us. And we wrestle with thoughts like, why am I not further along? Like we look at the spiritual life of someone else and we try to match their spiritual life and their spiritual pace. Or we can also do it when it comes to just other families or other people's economic status or what they have in life. And we try to, what's they always say, like financially, we're trying to, you know, live up to the Joneses or keep up with the Joneses. Like, we try to live at a different pace. We say things to ourselves and maybe even to God, why don't I have what other people have? Why don't I experience what other people experience? Why am I not blessed with what other people seem to be blessed with? Why does their life seem to be moving faster than mine? So what ends up happening is when we start paying attention to everything else around us instead of finding the rhythm that God wants for us, what we end up doing is we start speeding ourselves up. We try to take on a pace that goes beyond God's grace for us. And what's unfortunate is when we end up trying to pick up a pace that goes beyond God's grace, and when we can't keep that pace, you know who we usually end up blaming? God. We usually end up focusing on God, saying, why is life like this? And God looks at us and says, because you were trying to run something I never asked you to run. You were trying to run a pace I never asked you to keep. You weren't living on rhythm. Or what ends up happening when we get to that point is when we can't keep up with this pace, instead of trying to speed up even more or trying to run at this pace, many times what happens is people just end up feeling defeated or angry or frustrated. And we start looking at all the reasons to blame everyone and everything else, especially God. And what ends up happening is many times this is when people then either slow down or just completely give up. I'm done. I'm done, and I'm walking away. And the whole time, God is trying to get through to us to say, but you weren't living your life on rhythm. Right? Scripture tells us that we were never meant to run somebody else's race. In fact, Hebrews 12 says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Listen, you're not called to run my race, and I'm not called to run your race. But I am called to run the race that Jesus Christ puts in front of me. And you're called to run the race that Jesus puts in front of you. You see, God has a rhythm for our lives. It's a pace. It's a rhythm of obedience. It's a pace, and it's a rhythm of dependence. It's a place where we actually run our lives and live our lives in a rhythm where we can actually hear his voice. There's this beautiful moment in that movie I was telling you about, Overcomer, where the runner for the final run of the movie, her father ends up, who was a long distance runner and who's sick, he ends up recording himself in the hospital bed, because he knows the track that she's going to be running or the course that she's going to be running. And she puts her headphones in, her earbuds in, and she listens to his voice as she's running this race. And he's encouraging her, and he's coaching her, and he's telling her, hey, you're coming to this place, you're going to want to give up. You're going to get tired. You're going to feel it. You need to slow down. Focus on your breathing. Focus on. It's a beautiful moment, again, if you ever watch the movie, if you've never seen it. But isn't that the most beautiful thing about an intimate relationship with Jesus? Is that we can know that we can live a life where we can have a rhythm every single day where you can hear the voice of God literally directing you and guiding you and encouraging you through every moment, every high and low, every decision. See, that's where God wants us. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. So when we stop and think about it just for a second, and remember, I say this a lot, this is not meant to be a condemnation. It's meant for us to really stop and look at where we're at in our lives and where God wants us to be and be encouraged about where God wants to take us. If you pause for a moment and ask yourself, is it possible you're running a rhythm of life where you're not hearing his voice? Isn't it amazing to know that he wants to change that? So you do. My sheep know my voice. See, when a runner gets in sync, right? Their breathing, their stride, it all works together. When believers get in sync with God, think about this just for a moment. Our striving turns into endurance, right? Our panic turns into peace. Our movement becomes sustainability. I mean, it's a beautiful promise that God gives to us. You know, some of us, and I can look at my own life again. What I love about when God brings me to these moments of studying his word and challenging me on what to share with you is how God will show me so many things in my own life or even seasons in my own life. And I can tell you that the times that I have been burned out, and trust me, there's been many times that I've been completely burned out. in my faith, in my ministry, in every aspect of life. The times that I have experienced being burnt out was not because I was doing too much. It's because I was trying to run my race disconnected from God's rhythm. Right? Many times we think, well, I'm just doing too much. And yes, that can be the case many times. But again, the biggest issue, the bigger issue is, am I running? Am I living disconnected from God's rhythm? So during the season and the weeks ahead, we're going to spend some time each week looking at fundamental steps or fundamental things that we should have as part of our lives that help us get in rhythm with God. That's what we're going to do throughout this series. But this morning, we're just going to spend a few moments kind of doing an introduction and kind of talking about being in rhythm with God and what that looks like and what gets in the way. Kind of starting us on this journey to maybe ask ourselves, is this something that I should pay attention to? So as we begin, here's a truth that we need to wrestle with, or at least consider. Before we can live the rhythm of God, we need to ensure that we're actually running in the right direction. See, that's the thing. Sometimes we can jump to, okay, how do I get this rhythm? Well, the first thing you got to do is ask yourself, am I actually running the right race? Am I even heading in the right direction in the first place? And see, this is funny. God gave me a real world example of this. So this week, on Thursday, I had to take my dad, or I got to take him. It was a great time spending some time with my dad, but taking him down to Iowa City, because I had to take him down to a doctor's appointment. And what was interesting is when I was told where to take him, my mother said, well, you need to take him to the hospital. The appointment is at the hospital. Now listen, maybe some of you are like me. You hear Iowa City, you hear hospital. The first thing you think is, well, we're going to the U of I hospital. So listen, I get my dad together, and I was like, come on, we're going to be late, which, you know, he was kind of going a little slow because he had to say goodbye to the dog and get his coffee and do all that stuff. And I'm sitting there like, we're going to be late, you know. So we get in the car, we head down there. I'm rushing. I'm you know, going all the directions. I'm doing all this. We park. Which, again, anybody that's been there, it's annoying. 10 o'clock on a Thursday at the U of I hospital is not a fun time to get there. If we finally find a place to park, and we're rushing in, I ask them where to go. They tell us where to go to get to where his appointment is. We're walking the halls. We get there. I stand in front of the lady, and I say my dad's name, and I give her the date of birth, and she starts typing, and then she looks, and she's like, who are you? And I tell her the name again, and we have no record of him. And I'm like, well, then you got a problem, was my attitude. And after talking for a few minutes and then calling my mother, I found out something. I ran a great race getting my dad there. Wrong hospital. We were supposed to be at the VA. See, this is the moment that I'm talking about. See, a lot of times we can be so sincere in what we're doing in life. Listen, so as we talk about this morning, I want you to hear this. You can be so sincere. You can be even passionate. You can be hardworking in life. I am not denying that. We can give ourselves fully to what we're doing and still be heading in the wrong direction. See, that's one of the hard parts about it, because what we do is we focus on our sincerity. I'm passionate. I'm putting the time in. I'm putting the effort in. I'm working hard. And you can still end up at the wrong destination, because we can end up not actually running the right race. And so that's where we have to start with this, because it doesn't matter if we get the rhythm right. If we're heading in the wrong direction, it's all for nothing. See, we first need to make sure we're heading in the direction God calls us to, and then we focus on whether we're in sync with Him. A passage of Scripture, I'm not going to read it, but I want you to have it so you can look at it later, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is Paul as he's getting done talking about the resurrection of Jesus. He's talking about the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection. And he's talking about our future resurrection. And he gets to the end of this, and he starts making some amazing statements because he's talking about our future inheritance. He's talking about what's awaiting us as believers. And so we get to verse 50, and he starts saying things. He starts saying that flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says that the perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. And so he's talking about the transition that we're going to go through someday, that those that put their faith and trust in Jesus someday will be transformed when we enter into the kingdom of God. We won't be this same flesh and blood. We won't be the same person we are now as we're ushered into God's kingdom for all eternity. And he goes on and he talks about one is a path of death. Right? Flesh and blood, it's a path of death. It's a direction of death. And then he talks about this other path, immortality, and all of this, and the imperishable. And he says, this is a path of victory. And that's where we hear Paul make this amazing statement where he says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Right? And he says, the sting of death is the law and the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ. I'm pointing out this passage of scripture because I want you to see here that Paul is presenting two courses of life. Ultimately, he's pointing out two courses, two paths that we can take. We can spend all of our lives living for the flesh and blood, for the perishable, for the things of this world, for what I see in front of me today. Is what we can live for. We can give all of our energy and time and effort for what's right in front of us. Or we can run a path that is striving towards and pushing towards that victory, that immortality, the imperishable, right? That path that leads to the eternal kingdom of God. It's not the path necessarily of fulfillment today. And what I love about this is you kind of go back to Hebrews, even in the book of Hebrews, where you have talking about faith, and we get to chapter 12 in Hebrews, and it's talking about what faith is and how we live out faith. And we're going to look at that here in a little bit. But what I love is that all comes after chapter 11, where the Bible tells us about all these men and women who lived this other path, that lived a life of faith. And it actually says that they didn't receive in this life the things that they were striving for because they were looking to something ahead of them. Something beyond this life. Something that was yet to come. And that's ultimately, again, what Paul's talking about here is these two different courses. And it's in the same book as he's writing the same letter to this church in Corinth. He makes this statement earlier to them in chapter 9, verse 24. He says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run?" Man, again, isn't that life? We're all running. We're all pursuing. We're all striving. We're all living our days. So all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. And he's not speaking of competition here. What he's ultimately speaking of is the next statement. Notice what he says. He says, run in such a way as to get the prize. Right? So as he's talking about these different courses that we can choose, the course of flesh and blood or the course of the kingdom of God. And remember, the kingdom of God is what we're called to seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Paul says earlier, run your race in such a way to get the prize. So as we begin this series, the first question for us to ask ourselves is, what prize am I running for? What prize? Remember, Jesus said, you can gain the whole world and still forfeit what's most important. So it's the first question. It's one of those questions that is so important, but isn't it interesting we don't spend a lot of time actually talking about it and wrestling with it and really thinking about it? And please understand, I'm not just talking about your faith this morning. I'm not just talking about your salvation, is what I should say. I'm not just talking about are you saved or not. I'm just talking about your daily choices in life. It's like when you wake up every morning, it's like, what race am I running today? Whose race am I running today? Who's determining the course of my day today? Right? That's a question, again, that it's really easy to get wrapped up in just that daily part of life, and we lose sight of this. And what I want to encourage us with is this morning. Again, we finished talking about lukewarm Christianity, but I want to take a moment and I just want to say this. When we're talking about being off rhythm with God, please understand that if you're in a place as we go through this series or even this morning, and you're like, yeah, I feel like my life is off rhythm with God, please understand that that's not meaning that you've walked away from God. Right? Just because you might be off rhythm with God or out of sync with God does not mean that you've walked away from God. What it means is that you've allowed your life to get to a place where you're not aligned with God. Meaning you're not aligned with God's pace for your life. You're not aligned with God's voice in your life. You're not aligned with God's presence in your life. This isn't just have to be about, well, am I in a good place with God? Meaning, is he angry with me, or have I walked away from him, or am I in disobedience or in rebellion to God? It ultimately means that we've just got out of sync. And God desperately wants to have us in sync with him. Again, we see that all throughout Scripture. Galatians chapter 5 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Don't you hear rhythm here? You ever walked with somebody that's hard to be in rhythm with, or you're not in rhythm with? Right? It's funny, it's been the last couple of years. I was diagnosed, and some of you know this, but I was diagnosed with an ear disease that actually causes my balance to be off. And it's funny, when it started really messing with me and I didn't know I had it, Amy and I would go for walks, and she didn't notice this, but there was a lot of times I'd almost feel like I was just like about ready to walk into her. And it made our walks really annoying to me. I don't know how she felt about it. But it felt really annoying to me, because before I realized it was my fault, I kept being like, I didn't say this to her, but in my mind, I'm like, stay on your side. Because I felt like I was going in a straight line. It was her problem. Right? So we hear Scripture is talking to us about walking in rhythm. Keep in step with the Spirit. It's speaking of rhythm. It's speaking of pace. It's speaking of presence. So again, that's what we're talking about this morning. And that's what we're talking about during this series. So let's just take a couple moments and answer this question. What are some of the causes that can make us get off rhythm? What are some of the things that will make us get out of sync with Jesus? And all of these I'm going to pull out of the same passage. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, is where we're going to see these next few things I want to share with you. So if you want to write that in your notes or you're taking notes. But here's the first one. Sin. And when I say sin, what I mean here is undealt with sin. Notice what the Bible says here. It's talking about, again, that cloud of witnesses, right? Chapter 11 is this list of all these people who lived in sync with God, who lived with rhythm with God. And now in chapter 12, we read these words, therefore, surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Notice the first thing that we see here is undealt with sin actually ends up being ropes that literally entangle us. It's things that trip us up. It's things that keep us unable to keep in step with the Spirit of God. So again, when I say sin, I'm not talking again about, we all struggle with that. We all have things we do on a daily basis as we grow and as we mature. What I'm talking about here is the undealt with stuff. It's the stuff that we keep carrying with us. It's the stuff that we never focus on or we never deal with. We just push it off to the side and think that we can live and it's not going to cause any problems. But the Bible is clear here that it actually entangles us. It hinders us. It actually holds us back or makes us fall down. It's things that God is telling us it must be dealt with. So first and foremost, if you're here this morning and you have undealt with sin in your life, and what I mean again with that, it's the stuff that God has put in front of you and he's saying, we need to deal with this. And you think it's not causing any problems. No, it's causing a lot of problems. It's keeping you so you can't live in rhythm with God. And again, this is what the Bible's telling us. Run the race. This hinders you. The second thing that can get in the way and causing us to live in rhythm with God is just distractions. Notice the next thing that the Bible says here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, first, get rid of the things that entangle us. And then it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Pay attention to the goal. Don't be distracted. Don't be looking at everything else and all of that. You know, one of the things that, you know, we've all probably dealt with this, and maybe you've had this experience, if not personally, but you've seen somebody do it. You know, you ever watch the person that can't look up from their phone long enough, the next thing you know, they're walking into something? You know? That's how many of us are living our lives, and we wonder why we're not living in sync with Jesus, because Jesus is like, you're not even paying attention to me. You're distracted by everything else. You're distracted by people. You're distracted, you know, and hear me just for a moment on this, because I feel like I didn't think about this until just now. I think one of the things that keeps a lot of Christians from living in sync with God is we're still distracted about things that happened a long time ago. Listen, I've talked about this a lot, and if you ever want to talk about it in person, I'm more than happy to. Listen, the majority of wounds that I carry in my life, right? When I say wounds, I mean the scars that I carry in my life have come through churches and other quote-unquote Christians. Listen, there's such a thing as church hurt. I'm not going to deny it. There's such a thing as Christians that wound other Christians. And listen, I have to confess it. I guarantee you that I've probably wounded people. But you know what's unfortunate about that is many of us are still distracted by things that happened in the past because we've never dealt with them. And we're still focusing on things that have happened to us in the past. And I'm not denying that they didn't happen. And I'm not denying that they didn't hurt. I'm not denying that they caused pain. I'm not denying that they're still causing pain. But they're distracting us from living today. Unfortunately, a lot of us are still living in yesterday. And Jesus is like, I want you to live for today. So let's deal with what's distracting you to stay on rhythm with me. Right? And I get it. Sometimes dealing with that stuff is hard because it hurts. But it still needs to be dealt with. But it's not just hurts that we can pay attention to. We can be distracted by almost anything. The shiny things of the world. Right? Don't get me wrong. I know that I can get distracted by shiny things. Right? It's the squirrel moments. It's the, ooh, what's next? Some of us just jump from thing to thing to thing to thing, and we wonder, why is it not making sense? Why is it not fixing together? And Jesus is like, because you're distracted. Fix your eyes on me. Fix your eyes on me. So this morning I ask you this question. As you think about being on rhythm with God, what has your attention today? In life, what has your attention? What are you focusing on the most? And that's where your eyes are focused. When Jesus says, yeah, people are going to fail you. The world's going to fail you. You're going to fail yourself. But I don't fail you. What are we focusing on? The third thing that Hebrews then tells us, and it fits with both of these, it's a sin, but I wanted to give it its own thing because I think it's talked about here. We can see it here in this next verse. But what can keep us from living on rhythm with God? Pride. Because notice what the Bible says here. After the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, right? Then it goes on and says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why do I see pride here? Because when the Bible tells us that Jesus endured the cross for us, we have to remember that Jesus had a moment before his arrest where he cries out to God and he says, if there's any way that I don't have to go through this, then let's find out a different way. But then he says those famous words, but not my will be done, your will be done. See, Jesus stayed on rhythm with the Father because Jesus never allowed pride to get in the way to say, I'm going to do it my way, the way I want to do it, the way I want to see it done. And listen, I know I'm guilty of that, where the number one thing that keeps me out of rhythm with God is, God, I'm going to decide what the rhythm is. I'm going to decide what the course is. I'm going to decide how life's going to be lived. I'm going to decide the destination. I'm going to decide what I get and what I want. I'm going to decide my future. Instead of having what the Bible tells us to have, and Paul says, let us all have the mentality of Jesus, who, being equal with God, did not consider that something to put to his advantage, but instead became a servant. And became a servant that was willing to go to a cross for my salvation, for your salvation. You see, Jesus reveals the rhythm. Jesus tells us many times in his ministry, found in the Gospels, he says, I have come to do one thing and one thing only. I have come to do the will of the one who sent me. Listen, if you want to run the race that God has designed for you, you can't let pride get in the way. Because pride is the number one thing when we think of sin that takes us off the course of what God has for us and the rhythm that God has for us. And there's a fourth. Opposition. Notice in verse 3, then the writer says, consider him, being Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. Again, can we just not acknowledge it? Let's put it out there. We all live with opposition in life. There's things that come against us every single day. I don't know if you, a lot of you live like I do. To be honest with you, this is a mindset that I have many times. Whenever things start getting good, I'm like, all right, when's the curveball coming? You just kind of wait for it, right? Because life just seems to come with a lot of opposition. As soon as we start getting financially in a good place, I'm always like, all right, when's the next bill coming? Right? Like we've just kind of lived by that. But you know what I love about that? Because God has taught me something. Just taking financially just for a moment, God has taught me something amazing. Every time I think we're getting ahead and then something happens that brings us back down to square one again, those are those moments where God always reminds me, yeah, but David, ain't I cool? Because I gave you exactly what you needed to take care of that. Right? But we focus on oppositions. Oppositions, they trip us up. The walls that get in our way, the barriers that get in our way. We want to say, God, why don't you just make it easier? But remember, the Bible tells us that the oppositions are the things that actually make us stronger. They actually purify our faith. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Again, these are words of running, of life. Perseverance, endurance, strength. Many times we let the oppositions be the thing that knocks us down. And God's like, I want to use the oppositions to actually make you run better. To be stronger. To be more focused. Remember, Joseph talked about this. Joseph standing there with his brothers in the Old Testament. He says, the thing you meant for evil, God used for good. The thing you used to try to destroy me, God used to actually form me. The thing that you used and wanted to try to keep me from running this race, God actually used it to allow me to run this race. Right? But opposition sometimes is used in the opposite way, and it actually makes us stop running altogether. But again, we see here these four things that can get in the way: undealt with sin, distractions, pride, opposition. So this morning, I want to ask you, you spend time thinking about this and praying about this. Are any of these causing you not to run in rhythm with God this morning? Again, it's not a question of condemnation. It's not a question of how dare you. It's a question of evaluation. Meaning, if I want to run this race the way God has designed me to run, I got to look at the things that are trying to get in the way. I need to be honest about the things that are trying to stop me and to hold me back. So again, the enemy wants to use things to try to make you give up. Jesus wants you to use things to say, no, let me help you get stronger. Let me help you become the person that I've created you to be. Let me help you become the person that I died for you to be. Right, that's the beautiful part about this. It's not condemnation, it's conviction to become the people that God has called us to be. Now, before we're done this morning, I just ask that you process this with me just for a few moments, and there's benefits. So what are the benefits? Why should we want to live in rhythm with God? Why should this even matter to us? Maybe some of us are saying, yeah, maybe I'm not there, but life's good. Things are all right. I'm fine the way things are. But I think if we really looked at life and really got really honest with it, listen, I've lived both ways. I'd much rather live on rhythm with God. But here's some things I want you to think about this morning. What are the benefits? The first is this. There's clarity living in rhythm with God. There's clarity to this. Think about a couple of these verses that I have up there. Proverbs 3 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. It says, in all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Man, listen, I can look at my own life, and I know this without a shadow of doubt. When I know that I'm living in sync with God, decisions become a whole lot easier to make. There's so much more clarity on where God's directing me. There's so much more clarity of what God's asking for me. Confusion gets kicked outside. And it's like God just presents this clear path. The Bible tells us that we are able to know the good and perfect will of God. In Isaiah, I love this. It says this, God speaking to his people. He says, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Man, what confidence in that clarity. That God will give confidence to know that we're walking the path that he's asked us to walk. Not just in the big decisions, but in the day-to-day decisions. And maybe a way that will help us understand why clarity is so important. It's kind of like this. Anybody that's ever had like satellite dish, you had dish or DirecTV. Isn't it annoying when your dish gets knocked off a little bit? Like a degree off can just make it so you're not watching anything. And it's annoying. Right? In the same way, I want you to think about your own life the same way. When we are not in sync with God, even if it's by the slightest degree, the signal gets off. There's clarity lost. An alignment needs to happen. And when the alignment is corrected, the signal starts coming in a whole lot clearer. There's clarity to it. Again, one of the things I want to say just for a moment is some of us might be saying, okay, yeah, fine. I tried to get aligned with God and there wasn't clarity like you're explaining to me. Listen, yeah, there is. We just have to learn to start knowing how to listen to it. It's a growth process. It doesn't just snap your fingers and everything's perfect. You got to grow in it. You got to learn to pay attention. You got to learn his voice. You got to grow in maturity. So none of us fall into the trap to say, yeah, I tried that and it didn't work. Because it's a lifelong thing. It's not immediate. But there's clarity that comes with alignment. Second, there's strength and there's endurance. See, I already talked a little bit about it. Burnout occurs when we try to live our lives disconnected from the one who actually created our life. Exhaustion comes when we try to resist the pace that God has called us to live. But when we learn to live in rhythm with God, it teaches us to move when God tells us to move, to rest when God tells us to rest, to wait when God tells us to wait. And then Isaiah, we hear these amazing words. In Isaiah, we hear God say, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. The promise is that you will run and not grow weary, you will walk and not be faint. This is speaking of alignment, rhythm with God. In that same verse, there's also something beautiful that's stated here. The Bible promises that our lives can be like eagles soaring. You ever watched an eagle soar? Isn't it just beautiful to watch an eagle not have to struggle against the wind? You ever sat and watched? I remember a memory once of sitting at the park and watching a bird, like a little sparrow. And I felt so bad for this sparrow because he was trying so hard and he wasn't going anywhere. It was like the wind was this perfect matching of his effort. And for about 5 minutes, I watched this sparrow fly and he never moved an inch. You ever feel like your life's like that? Like, God, I am working everything I can work here, and I ain't moving an inch. But then the Bible says that alignment is not, you're not like the sparrow anymore that's struggling. You're like the eagle that just spreads his wings. Eagles don't even have to flap their wings. They just soar through the air. That's the promise of God. That's not my promise. There's strength and endurance that comes through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The third one is there's purpose. When we move with God, we gain direction. But when we're not in alignment with God and we're out of rhythm with God, we have a lot of effort, but we just end up wandering. We chase after things, we pursue things, but ultimately none of it really matters. In Psalms, the Bible talks about a person who does not walk in the ways of the wicked, but it compares a person that walks in the ways of God, that walks in rhythm with God. And one of the things that it says in Psalms chapter 1, it says that person is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Whatever they do prospers. Right? There's purpose to life. There's fruitfulness to life. Right? We see the purpose in all things, whether the good times or the hard times, because we live with the purpose of God. So if you're struggling to know purpose today, I ask you, could it be because you're not in rhythm with God? And then there's also rest. You know, many of us might live busy lives, but I ask you this question. Are you living a busy life today, but are you also carrying an exhausted soul? Matthew 11, Jesus says this, "Come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But how does this have to do with rhythm? Because Jesus says the next thing. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." The yoke is to actually let Jesus set the pace. The yoke is what allows Jesus to set the rhythm. The yoke is when Jesus says, "Let me be in control. Learn from me." You see, the world teaches us that we should always seek escape. Isn't that what a lot of us live by? Man, I can't wait to the next vacation. I just need to escape. Listen, my wife's a teacher. Those of you that are teachers, listen, God bless you, especially as the year comes to an end. But all of you probably that work in the school system are saying, escape is coming. Right? And listen, you deserve it. Kids, you're saying the same thing, so I get it. Like, your escape is coming. But the world teaches us to chase after escape. Jesus doesn't offer escape. Jesus offers rest. See, escape only distracts us from exhaustion. See, the exhaustion always comes right back. You ever notice when you come back from vacation, you need a vacation from the vacation? You're not actually rested many times. Escape only distracts from exhaustion, but Jesus offers rhythm that restores us, that renews us. And here's the last one, and then we'll be done this morning. Peace. What is the benefit of living in rhythm with Jesus Christ? Peace. You see, rhythm requires presence. To live in rhythm with God requires the presence of God, and here's the beautiful thing about it. Presence ensures peace. This is why Jesus says, "Abide in me." Rhythm doesn't come through more effort. Rhythm doesn't come by trying harder. Rhythm doesn't come by giving even more of yourself. Rhythm comes by presence. Abide in me. Ephesians tells us, "For he himself is our peace." Jesus is our peace. Presence. John 16, Jesus says, "In me you may have peace." Peace, again, presence. These are the benefits. So as we prepare to end our time this morning and close, here's my question. This final thing I want you to think about as you prepare to leave is, where do we begin then? Where do we begin in this journey? Well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians just for a moment. 1 Corinthians 15 ends with this, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Here's my encouragement for you this morning before we end in a time of worship, and it's simply this. first. Where do we begin? Stand firm. As Christians, we always need to strive for the victory mindset. The victory mindset is where we dig in our heels and say, I'm not moving backwards anymore. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to chase after that which Jesus offers me. I'm not going to chase after the things that keep me away from all that Jesus has for me. Remember, this verse says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? This is then where Paul says, stand firm, brothers and sisters. Let nothing move you. He's reminding us, your race is not over. If you're here this morning and you're breathing, your race is not over. Stand firm. I say this a lot sometimes, and I hope you hear it again this morning, because it's a mantra that I try to live by for myself. Is we need to start getting mad about some stuff. And when I say mad, we need to get angry, not at other people and not at ourselves. We need to get mad at the situations that keep us from everything Jesus wants for us. And one of the things is, a lot of us keep getting moved when God says, no, 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 stand firm. Let nothing move you. And start getting angry about what's being kept from us. You see, insanity is that great definition. It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Listen, if you're out of rhythm with God this morning, it's not going to change by doing the same thing you've been doing. Something different has to happen. Change has to happen, but we are called to stand firm with that victory mindset. And the last thing is this. Notice what he says. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Simply, it's the encouragement. Don't give up. If you try today and you don't see the fruit that you expected, don't give up. We're building something over a lifetime, not over a moment. The problem is too many of us put it all in a moment. But Paul tells us, don't give up. Keep doing the work that God places in front of you to do. I'm going to pray and ask the praise team to come up as they close us in worship. Father God, as we just spend a couple moments in worship to you before we end our time here this morning, I just ask that your Spirit speak to us again, right where we're at. I pray that it be a voice of encouragement. I pray it be a voice of calling us to say, If we're in a place where our life feels disconnected, if it feels out of rhythm, Lord, if it feels like it's out of sync, Lord, if we're here this morning and we don't have peace, if we don't have rest, if we don't know that purpose that you want us to have, we don't feel that strength and that endurance that you have for us, Lord, if our life is wrapped up more with a word of confusion than it is clarity, then I pray this morning we hear your voice that says, this is not the way that I designed it to be. This is not the life that I want for you. The life I want for you is one that is in rhythm with me. It's one that's in sync with me, Lord. And if you speak to us, I pray you give us the courage, the boldness that we need to know, Lord, that, okay, then what do I need to do differently? Lord, I'm willing to step out and do whatever I need to do differently. I pray you just again speak to us as we end our time and you just pour out your blessing upon your church and upon your people. In your name we pray. Amen.